Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
A warm word of welcome to the house of the Lord this morning. It's good to see each and every one that's gathered in. And we do pray that the Lord will bless us and meet with us as we're found in his house today. And those that are tuning in online, wherever you are, we do extend to you that warm word of welcome as well. And we do pray that the Lord will bless you and speak to your heart. Can we just, at this stage, bring you the announcements for the incoming week? And firstly, could we ask just for a moment a time off all of the Sunday school teachers and off the children's workers immediately after the morning service, just for a moment, please, just to go over some things for the incoming term. Then this evening service at 7 p.m. with the season of prayer beforehand at 6:30. And we do encourage and invite each one to come back again this evening and to come around God's precious word. We're continuing in our series in the book of Acts, coming to that final part of chapter 17, whenever Paul is standing in the Areopagus and he's speaking the word of God. And so we do invite you and encourage you to come back again tonight, please. Then Monday evening, as we mentioned last week, there is a Consider Christ prayer meeting in our Omer congregation tomorrow night at 8 p.m. And it is open, and an open invitation to each and every one who is any interest in that outreach work as it continues, and God willing, as it goes forward, even in the year that lies ahead as well, that the Lord will bless it. And so there is that season of prayer tomorrow night at 8 p.m, which is open to all. Then on Wednesday night, we have our midweek Bible study and prayer meeting here in the church at 8 p.m. And God willing, I'll be along to conduct that service. And as always, we do encourage and invite each and every one, young and old alike, to be coming to the place of prayer on Wednesday evening. Then two announcements for Friday evening. First of all, there is a Youth Council Youth Rally in our Martyrs Memorial Congregation and in our Martyrs Church at 8 p.m. And that is open to each and every young person to go along to that service. And if you're not able to go along, then certainly we do encourage you to tune in to the Martyrs either Facebook page or their sermon audio page to be part of that service. Then this Friday evening also is the installation of the Reverend Timothy Nelson in our Tyndale congregation. He received a call back in June and took some time over the summer period to pray over that call. And he accepted that call, and this Friday evening he will be installed as a new minister of our Tyndale congregation. That service is an invite-only meeting. It's in our Newton Abbey congregation. And if you would like to tune in and watch that service, if you go to the Tyndale Church Facebook page, and they're hoping to have the uplink there for you. So do pray for the Reverend Nelson as he takes up that new charge, that the Lord will bless him and use him in the will of the Lord. Then next Sunday, the services are as follows. God willing, at 10:30 a.m. next Sunday will be the recommencement of our Sabbath school. And we're certainly encouraging prayer that the Lord will bless and even bring the children once again and bless the teachers as they conduct those classes. Then the normal service is at 11:30 and at 7 p.m. And we are endeavouring to have the times of prayer both in the morning and in the evening as they are at the minute. And so we do remind you of those seasons of prayer as well. Next Sunday is also the retiring offering for the building fund, and we encourage you to bring in your gifts towards that. Then just for the month of September, to give some notifications, can we say that from Monday the 13th to the 17th, we are endeavouring to have a week of prayer here in the church in preparation for our drive-in mission. And so Monday to Friday of that week, the 13th to the 17th, every night here in the church at 8 p.m, we encourage you to set aside that time to come and to pray that the Lord will bless in that mission. That mission commences on Sunday the 19th, and it runs through until Sunday the 26th of September. It will be here in the car park. The Reverend McRae is the guest evangelist for that week, and we do encourage you to be even praying much for that mission, and even inviting and letting your neighbours know. There will be the invite cards, as always, that will be printed and prepared. But even now, start and prepare the ground with friends and with family, that the Lord will bless and bring them under the sound of God's word. And then a couple of announcements from Presbytery. Can we mention that Mr. Raymond Morrow received and accepted the call to Bush Mills Congregation, and we do pray that the Lord will bless him. He will be installed later on in the month of September, and certainly I know he and the church there in Bushmills would value your prayers in this new chapter in that history of the church. Then can we bring you an update on behalf of the Reverend Goods? And it is a good update. We're thankful for answered prayer. He is responding well to the treatment that he is receiving in hospital, and his body is fighting the virus. And so we do encourage you to continue to pray for him, that the Lord will strengthen him and even raise him to full strength once again. It was also mentioned to us on Friday evening that the Reverend William Beattie has been in hospital for the last number of weeks, also with COVID, and we know that he would value your prayers, that the Lord would touch him and strengthen him at this time. And then on behalf of our Crossgar congregation, they are commencing a drive-in mission today, running for the next week, and it is the Reverend Roger Higgison who is a guest evangelist at that drive-in mission. And I know they would value your prayers in this incoming week, that the Lord will bless in that mission. I'm going to get a breath of calm now and take a breather, and we're going to sing together 604. Always after presbytery, the announcements are longer, and so you have to listen to me a couple of more minutes before we get to the singing. But 604 we want to commence with this morning. The page is 420. We're going home to glory soon, to see the city bright, to walk the golden streets of heaven and bask in God's own light. 604, and we'll stand after the introduction, please. Amen. still ourselves in God's presence and look to him even now for his blessing upon our coming together this morning. Let's pray. Our Father and our God in heaven, we bow humbly and reverently before thee. And we thank thee, O God, even for that reminder afresh, Lord, this morning, that each one that is saved of that home that is ours in heaven. We thank thee for the promise of our Lord and Savior, that in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Oh, what a joy it is to know that our Lord and Savior is preparing a place with him for us forever. We thank and praise thee, O God, that one day we shall see our Savior. One day, O God, we shall be like him. One day we shall come to him, and we shall see him face to face, and we will never leave his presence again. What a blessing it is to know that our Savior and our friend is the one who will be with us forever and forever. We thank thee for sins forgiven. We thank thee for the crucified Christ, the one who died for our sins. We thank thee for the risen Lord, the one who rose for our justification. We thank thee, O God, even for that mediation that he makes in our behalf in heaven even now. We thank thee, O God, that we have the one who speaks for us. We have the one who speaks even on our behalf before his Father and who prays for us as well. And oh, this morning we simply say, what a Savior we have. What a great and loving God we have in heaven. That God who gave his only begotten Son to die for our sins even there upon the cross. Lord, we confess that we were not worthy and we still never are. We confess there's nothing righteous, there's nothing good within us. Lord, thou hast searched our hearts. Thou art the one who knows our hearts. And yet in mercy and in great grace, thou didst save us even unto thyself. Lord, we come to praise thee this day. We come to worship thee. O God, enable us to do so this morning. Empty us afresh of self and of sin. And cleanse us, O God, in that precious blood. And fill us with thy Spirit. And enable us, O God, to lift our voices in praise. Enable us to, O God, to have our hearts full of love and joy for our Savior in heaven. Lord, we think of that song in heaven which praise, that praise that is carried on and never ceases. O Father, give us even a taste of that this morning, to praise our Savior, to lift our hearts fully unto thee, not to be dragged down or to be weighed down with the cares and concerns of the world, but rather to turn our eyes upon Jesus and to look full in his wonderful face. Lord, bless this morning and bless this evening. Bless each one, O God, who comes under the sound of thy word this day. We thank thee for this congregation. We thank thee, O God, for each and every one that is associated with this church. We thank thee, O God, for each one that is before us. We pray that thou wilt bless. We pray, O God, that thou wilt bless every home, that thou wilt bless every individual, that every home will know the presence of Almighty God within it. That every couple, every family will know the Lord as that head of the home. Lord, that every decision that is made within the family setting, that it will be made in the mind and with the will of God even there for the family. Lord, unite families in Christ, I pray thee. Thou knowest those that have loved ones still outside of Christ, out of Christ without a Savior. O Father, work within hearts. Lord, answer the prayers of fathers and of mothers. Answer the prayers of brothers and of sisters. Answer the prayers of children for their parents. And Lord, save in these days, we pray thee. Lord, we think of the many efforts that are being made. We think of the gospel campaigns that have been coming to a close and those that are just starting. Lord, we do pray that that seed that has been sown will bring forth much fruit. We pray for this incoming week. We think of that mission in Crossgar. We pray for the Reverend Higgison. Lord, that thou wilt bless him and that thou wilt use him. We think of our own gospel mission later on in this month. Oh, even now, start to prepare the hearts, I pray thee. Start to work in this area. Start to unsettle the sinner. Start to make them, oh God, even conscious of their misery and sin. And Lord, give them that hunger and that thirst after righteousness. We think of thy servant who will come to conduct that mission. Even prepare his heart in these days. Lord, minister to him in this study. And even as he comes, may he come, O God, with messages from thee, messages to convince and to convert the sinner by the work of the Holy Spirit. O Father, may he be in tune with thee, even as he comes to minister thy word. Lord, remember as well the church as a whole. Lord, we think of the many different aspects of this work. The work amongst the children, in the children's meeting, the Sabbath school, the work amongst the youth. Lord, we think of our prayer meetings, our Bible studies. Lord, we think of each and every one. Father, we pray for thy blessing to be upon them in the days and the weeks ahead. We pray, O God, for the move of the Holy Spirit. We ask, O God, that thou wilt draw near, that we will know that the Lord is in the midst, that this community will know that the Lord is near, and they will turn from their sin and put their faith and trust in thee. Lord, bless us in this service. Help us by thy Spirit. Help us to proclaim thy word. Help us to hear thy word. Help us, O God, to take it in and to hide it in our hearts. Father, bless us this day. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We'll read together Psalm 112 this morning. Psalm 112. We mentioned last week Psalm 111 through to 113. All begin with the same utterance, praise ye the Lord. And certainly they are wonderful words again that are contained within this psalm, Psalm 112. And we'll read it together this morning. Verse 1, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. He hath dispersed. He hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his truth to our hearts this morning. 594 is our second hymn today. 594, when my life work is ended, and I cross the swelling tide, when the bright and glorious morning I shall see. 594. We'll stand again as we sing, please.
Thank you.
The book of Revelation and chapter 21. We're going to read from now together, please. The book of Revelation and chapter 21. I say to the ladies of the congregation, there's a little cardigan is hanging over the chair there just beside Gladys. It's been here for a number of weeks, so ladies, if you're missing a wee cardigan, I don't think it's a man's cardigan. And ladies, if it's yours and you've been missing it for a couple of weeks, it's hanging there in the chair, and please feel free to take it with you as you go. Revelation, the chapter 21. I'm going to read the chapter together this morning. Continue in our small series, The Royalty of Heaven. Revelation 21, the verse 1. The Word of God says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. He said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. He said unto me, It is done, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable, and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers, and idolaters and all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone clear as crystal, had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, and on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. He that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth foursquare. The length is as large as the breadth, and he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the 10th a chrysoprasus, the 11th a jacinth, and the 12th an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein for the Lord God Almighty, and the Lamb were the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter in anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his precious word. I want to consider with you this morning the place called heaven. The place called heaven. Let's have a moment's prayer together, please. Heavenly Father, we thank thee, O God, for thy word. We thank thee even for this revelation that was given to John. We thank thee, O God, for thy desire to have it written down for us even to have and to be able to read it together. We thank thee, O God, that there is a heaven just as there is a hell. Lord, we thank thee that each one whose name is in the Lamb's book of life will be a resident of that new Jerusalem. Father, help us this day, even as we come to thy word. Speak to us and speak through us. Give us that guarding help of the Holy Spirit. Guard our lips and guard our hearts. And speak, O God, to each and indeed to everyone. We pray for those that are here that are saved. And those that are listening online that are saved, O God, give us that joy and that comfort today, knowing that we are saved. Knowing that heaven is our eternal home. We pray for those that are not saved. Lord, even as we consider this wonderful place, Father, give them that desire and give them that warning even to their hearts that if they are not saved, they will never see it and they will never see Christ. Oh, Father, come and minister to us now, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. One occasion, there was a Maori chief from New Zealand who was visiting the land of England many, many years ago. His name was Tamahana. And during that visit, the English barons and the English lords that were taking him about at that time wanted to show off all of the majesty and all of the beauty of the place in England. One occasion, one day, he was taken to a beautiful mansion just outside of the city of London. And during that visit to the mansion, he was shown round all of the different rooms. He was showing the grandeur and the majesty, the beauty of that mansion, and all of the finery that was found therein. And the owners of the mansion, they showed forth, and they said, oh, that piece of furniture, that came from this part of the world. And they took him around all of the different furniture, all of the paintings, everything that had been gathered and brought together from across the world. At the end of the tour, the owner turned to Tamahana. And he thought, oh, Tamahana's going to be completely overwhelmed. Here's a man that's come from New Zealand. He's only a Maori chief. He's never seen such beauty. He's never seen anything like this. And he said to the man, well, what do you think? And Tamahana, he just simply looked at him and he says, my father's house is finer than this. For within my father's house, there's many mansions. You see, for Tamahana, the worldly pleasures, the worldly material things, didn't amaze him whenever he knew he was heading to glory. Now, how true that is, there is no place like heaven. There is nowhere upon this earth that you could place as a parallel to heaven. There's no city that you could go to and say, this is as beautiful as heaven. There's no mansion that you could go to upon this earth and you could say, this is as beautiful as heaven. Indeed, even within Scripture, the men who write of heaven under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, they go as far as they can. And the Holy Spirit allows them to go as far as they do go. But even then, with the words of the Queen Sheba, we have to say, behold, the half has not been told me. You know, I think of the writings of Ezekiel in Ezekiel chapter 1. Of course, I think of the writings of John here in the book of Revelation. And we can read through the writings of Ezekiel, we can read through the book of Revelation, and we can say, honestly, there's much that we do not understand. There's much that we do not comprehend. There's much that we will not appreciate until we get to heaven, and until we see it all. But you know, within these verses and other scriptures as well, there are a number of observations which can be made about the place called heaven. I want to leave them with you this morning, just three things. I want you to see, firstly, the verse 11, and then again the verse 23. It is a place of brightness. It is a place of brightness. It tells us the verse 11 of Revelation 21, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. In verse 23, the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. The Lamb is the light thereof. You know, there is nothing brighter. There is nothing more illuminating than the brightness of the glory of God. It doesn't matter what source you choose to name. It doesn't matter what source you choose to bring forth as a comparison. Nothing will ever come to the brightness of God's glory. You think of the brightness of the sun. Whenever that sun's at its strongest, whenever that sun's at its highest, and you can look at it, my, it'll hurt your eyes. You'll have to strain, you'll have to even turn away from it. You think even in that winter time as the sun's coming down and you're trying to drive, and how it blinds you, how it blurs your vision, how you cannot see clearly. Yet the sun's nothing compared to the brightness of God. The sun's nothing compared to the brightness even of heaven. I think of the words and listen to them from Isaiah 24 and verse 23. It says, then the moon shall be confounded, and the sun ashamed, when the Lord of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem and before his ancients gloriously. I think as well of the words of Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 60 and the verse 19. Says, the sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. The sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself, for the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. We don't need a sun in heaven. We don't need a moon in heaven. We don't need stars in heaven. We don't need that brightness that comes from the east and sets in the west. Why? God's glory is there. It's brighter than anything you'll ever see. You know, surely throughout the scriptures there are glimpses of the brightness of God's glory. We can think in the book of Exodus, in Exodus 34, the verses 29 to 35. And how it speaks there of Moses when he met with God upon Mount Sinai, and when he descended from Mount Sinai, such was the brightness of God's glory that it even illuminated Moses' face. His face shone. And even as he came down to the people, such was the brightness of his own face that they had to take that veil and they had to cover his face. I think as well of the Mount of Transfiguration. It's recorded in the Gospels for us. Matthew 17 is one of those places. It tells us there in Matthew 17 and 2. That Christ was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. I think of Saul of Tarsus and the road to Damascus. There, as he made that journey, as he's coming near to that city, it tells us, Acts 9 and verse 3, suddenly there shined about him, round about him, a light from heaven. But then I correspond that with Paul's own testimony in the book of Acts in the chapter 26. Whenever he's standing there before the leaders, he says in the verse 13, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven. Listen, above the brightness of the sun. That light that he shone, he's there at the noonday. He's there heading in Syria for Damascus. The sun is bright. The sun is high. And yet here came a brightness brighter than anything even the sun could give. Why isn't it interesting? No. Each of the examples that Scripture records for us, that man in his natural human form cannot bear the brightness of God's glory. In Moses' time, he had to put the veil over his face. because the people couldn't take it. It tells us in Exodus 34, the verse 30, that the people were afraid to come nigh to him. Mount of Transfiguration, for a period of time, the disciples lay down and slept. Then for Saul of Tarshish, when he beheld that light, which was above the brightness of the sun, what happened? It left him blinded. See, we've never experienced such light. In our finite minds here upon this earth, we couldn't even begin to measure how bright heaven will be. You can't say it'll be so many million light bulbs or so many million LEDs. It's impossible to measure the brightness of the sun or the brightness of the Son of God even there in heaven. Of course, as it shows us, we look for the source of that light. We look, of course, to Christ. We read that verse in Isaiah 60, the verse 19, where it said, "The sun shall be no more thy light by day." It says at the end of it, "But the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light." I think of the words of Hebrews 1, the verse 3, where it speaks of Christ being the brightness of his glory. When we look at the testimony of John, even here in Revelation 21, verse 23, it says the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Now, as I said, when you go through scriptures, we only have glimpses of the brightness of God. We could have mentioned, of course, the Shekinah glory of God filling the temple. We could have mentioned at the incarnation of Christ, the light that came even to the shepherds outside of Bethlehem. They're all just glimpses. But in heaven, it's the eternal brightness we'll enjoy. My, them shepherds outside of Bethlehem, they had it for a moment and then it disappeared. As the angels all went back into heaven, the earth became dark again, the sky became dark again. That's never going to happen in heaven. We get to heaven, it's a place of eternal brightness. There's never a time whenever it will dim. There's never a time whenever it will diminish in terms of its strength, in terms of its purity of brightness. The Son of God shines forever. His glory will never be covered. His glory will never be concealed from his people. He will shine forth forever. Heaven's a place of brightness. Secondly, I want you to see also heaven's a place of beauty. It's a place of beauty. The verses 18 through to 21. I'm not going to read all of them verses again, but it tells us about the different jewels, the different makeup of heaven in terms of the walls, in terms of the foundation. I just about go through the names the first time, so I'm not going to trip over them the second time. But my, what a place heaven will be. Walls of jasper. Some believe that jasper in biblical times referred to a transparent diamond-like stone. God's made his walls out of that. Then the city's made of pure gold. It's as clear as glass. Then the foundations of the city. He's taken all of the jewels and he's mixed them in to make the foundations. Foundations in heaven won't be below the ground. You can see them. All of which, whenever you bring those jewels together, all that are recorded in those verses, you have colors and a picture of greens, blues, reds, golden, violet, purples. The 12 gates of heaven are 12 pearls. Now, ladies, they're not little pearls you'd find in an oyster. These are handcrafted and hand-created by God himself. They are pearls so great that they stand as a gate in heaven. There's 12 of them. The street, it tells us, is pure gold, gold clear as glass. When you add to that picture the brightness of God, with all of that gold and all of that jasper and all of those jewels, and then comes the glorious light of God shining upon them. All of those colors. What beauty there'll be in heaven. What color, what majesty, what splendor will be in heaven. Everywhere you look, it'll just be dazzling your eyes. It'll be the twinkle of the light against the jewels, against the gold, against the jasper. It's just going to be radiating back. And yet as I read these verses and I considered the beauty of heaven, there's something that stands out. I believe it's a wonderful testimony of John. You see, so many people get caught up with gold. So many people get caught up with jewels. So many people get caught up with the pearls and the jasper and the diamonds and all of those things. And people think, oh, I can't wait to get to heaven. Why? I'm going to be walking streets of gold. I'm going to see all of the jewels. And people get caught up with all of those things. And yet, you look at John. You notice what John sees first in heaven. Indeed, when you think of it, John, in the book of Revelation, from Revelation 4 onwards, John sees both the old heaven and he sees a new heaven. He's caught up to see the old heaven as it is now, and he's caught up then to see the new heaven, the new Jerusalem as it descends. Both of them are beautiful. Both of them are majestic. Both of them are places of splendor. Both of them are beyond anything we've ever seen upon this earth. Both of them will stand out beyond parallel, beyond comparison. And yet on both occasions, the old heaven and the new heaven, what's the first thing that catches John's eye? It's Christ. It's Christ. Revelation 4 speaks of John being caught up to heaven. Now, as you go through that chapter in Revelation 4, he's going to speak of the sea of glass. He's going to speak of the four and the 20 elders. He's going to speak of the rainbow. He's going to speak of it all. But you go into Revelation chapter 4, what's the first thing he writes about? Revelation 4, the verse 2. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat in the throne. All of the rainbow, all of the glass, all of the 24 elders, all of the myriads upon myriads of people. But the first thing that catches John's eye, it's the one who sits in the throne. Then you come to Revelation 21. New heavens and new earth. New cities coming down from heaven. Yet John doesn't speak of it. It says about how in the verse 3 he heard a voice out of heaven. The voice of God. But then the verse 5 he says, and he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. There's a whole city, New Jerusalem, coming down. But yet John's eye sees the one upon the throne. He's listening to him. I contend to you this morning, the most beautiful sight to behold in heaven isn't the walls or the streets. I contend to you this morning, it's not the jasper, it's not the foundations. The most beautiful thing in heaven that's going to catch your eye is the Son of God. Thomas Brooks, he said this, it is God alone who makes heaven to be heaven. See, without Christ in heaven, it's just a city. But without Christ in heaven, it's like a double heaven to you. See, we don't long for heaven this morning for the material. We don't long for heaven. Oh, I can't wait to get to heaven. Why? Because I got my own mansion. Oh, I'm going to see the streets of gold. I'm going to see the foundations. That's not why I want to go to heaven. I'm going to see my King. I'm going to be with him. I long to go to heaven. Why? To be with Christ. Isn't that what the apostle said? The apostle Paul said, absent from the body, present with what? The jewels. Absent from the body, present with what? The 24 elders, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Paul was longing to be with his Savior. Indeed, it's a wonderful little testimony. I looked at those verses and you go through them together. Whenever you come to that verse and it tells you, verse 9, it says, "There came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, and he talked to me. He said, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife." It's as if John's eyes are just so fixed upon the throne that it literally had to be dragged away. The angel had to come and go, "You need to see the rest of it. The Lord wants you to write the rest of this down." John's eyes are just focused straight upon the throne. He can't get away from his Savior. He can't get away from looking upon the one who loved him and gave himself for him. He's just completely fixed upon Christ. And so the angel has to come to him, and he says, and even there in the verse 10, what does it say? "He carried me away in the Spirit." It's as if the angel has to come and go, "You must come and write this down. You must come and see the rest." And John's like, "No, I'm happy here. I've got my Savior." See, that's the beauty in heaven, my friend. Yes, the Lord God has adorned a beautiful resting place, a beautiful home in heaven for us all. He's making it better. He's making it more beautiful than anything. But Christ is there. The brightness, the beauty. Thirdly and finally, I want to leave you with this. Verse 2 and verse 27, the purity of heaven. The purity of heaven. Verse 2, it begins with this. "I, John, saw," notice the word, "the holy city." In the verse 27, it says, "There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." Heaven is a place of holiness. There's no sin in heaven. We see that clearly in how John describes the New Jerusalem. His first word, his first descriptive word, it's a holy city. Indeed, we see it in all the materials that are used in the building of the city, of course, as well. There's no faults, there's no blemishes. There's no marks upon any of the jewels or upon the gold or upon the jasper. It's the purest and the holiest of cities. And therefore, as we see in the verse 27, it's only the purest and the holiest of people that will get there. It's only those who have been washed in the blood of Christ. It's only those who have been sanctified by the Spirit and have been brought into that sweet fellowship and have been changed over the course of their life. They've been justified by the blood. They've been sanctified by the Spirit. They've died more and more unto self and unto sin. They're living more and more unto righteousness until the Lord has prepared them, the Lord has changed them, and the Lord's ready to glorify them. Then they're in. Only those whose names are in the Lamb's book of life. See, there must be a purity within the individual's heart, or else they will not see heaven. Isn't that the teaching of Christ? You think of that beatitude, Matthew 5, the verse 8. "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Pure in heart, see God. Isn't that what Peter then quotes? First Peter, he quotes those words of Leviticus 11, verse 44. "Command of the Lord, be ye holy, for I am holy." My friend, this morning you want to go to heaven. You want to see that city bright. You want to see the Lord Jesus Christ upon the throne. You must be pure. You must be saved. "Who shall ascend into the hill of God? Who shall stand in the holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart." Heaven is pure. Our Savior is pure. Therefore, each and every inhabitant of heaven, each and every citizen of that holy Jerusalem, must be pure. Isaiah 60, and I go back again to that passage, this time to verse 21. Isaiah says, "Thy people also shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified." Every resident of heaven must be pure. Every resident of heaven must be saved. And their lamb, and their name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I want to ask the question this morning as we close. Are you going to heaven? Are you sure this morning in your heart that your name's in the book? That you're not relying on yourself, that you're not relying on this church, that you're not relying on anything else, that you can say this morning, "I'm depending on the blood of Christ. That I've been washed. That I've been cleansed." Heaven is a place of purity. My friend, be sure of that blessed assurance this morning that Jesus is yours. And that one day you'll see Him. And you'll know Him. Even as we sang together, you'll know Him by the nail prints in His hands. Now, wasn't it wonderful when you consider who wrote that hymn? It's Fanny Crosby. Lady, when she was a little girl who had that operation where they burnt her eyes, she lost her eyesight for the rest of her life. And yet when she died, she opened her eyes in heaven. She could see her Savior. And she knew Him by the prints of the nails in His hands. My, after all of those years of blindness, she saw the beauty of her Savior. Is He your Savior today? Well, my friend, if He's not, I encourage you this morning, give your heart, give your life to Christ. Turn from your sin. You can't go to heaven with the sin in your heart. You'll never get near it. The door will be closed. And so be sure this morning that your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. Let's have a word of prayer as we close. Father in heaven, we thank Thee, O God, this day, even for the glimpses that we have in this book, the glimpses that have been given even throughout history of the glory and the brightness of God. We thank Thee that there in heaven, that glory will never be concealed again. We thank Thee for our Savior. We thank Thee, O God, even for that testimony of John, how he kept his eyes upon his Savior. Regardless of the majesty, the splendor round about him, he kept looking to the throne. Oh, Father, keep our eyes upon Thee. Keep us looking even unto our Savior. Father, write Thy word upon our hearts. Bless us as we separate one from the other. Bring us again, O God, this night, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.